One thing I like about us is we are formal around here. Amen. Yeah, that's quality when you can play the piano while somebody's over messing with the microphone and all that, and you know, and I'm telling you, that's not bad at all. Ruth chapter 1, if you'll stand with me in honor of reading the Word of God this afternoon. I want to begin in verse 22. And then we'll read down through chapter 2 and verse 10, all right? Found your place? Say amen. Amen. So Naomi returned, amen. And Ruth, the Moabite, is her daughter-in-law with her. You know, if we live right and we come back, we can always bring somebody with us, by the way, you know. Her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And the Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me go now to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with thee. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Now, I'm telling you, that lets me know right there that she's not lazy. She's willing to work. Amen. It says, then said Boaz unto Ruth, harvest thou not, my daughter. Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And I was thinking about that. Isn't that, that's just like the Lord telling you, don't go anywhere else. Stay here. I mean, this is where you need to be. This is where you need to glean. This is where the best stuff is. And so he entices her to stay there. And he said, verse 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? Father, help us, Lord, today. And Lord, I pray that we will glean from the message this afternoon, God, those things that will, Lord, that will strengthen us, encourage us, God, and help us to be the Christian that we need to be, the child of God, and the testimony that we need to be. Help us to see in this passage of Scripture, Lord, how that we serve a God who loves us, Lord, who wants to take care of us. And God, if we'll just allow you to lead, God, that you have a plan for our life. So I pray, God, that you, again, that you'd help us. Bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now remember, Naomi and Ruth are poor. And when I got to thinking about poverty, I went online, did a little research about poverty, and I thought it was pretty interesting. So I'll read you some of the things that I found. 1% of the population of the world has almost the same amount of money as the rest of the 99%. Isn't that amazing? 48.2% of all the world's wealth is in the hands of just 1% of the population. Now, before you start bad-mouthing the 1%, okay, here's the kicker. You may be a part of the 1%, okay? Because if you make more than $50,000 a year, then you are among the top 1% earners in the world. Isn't that amazing? 80% of the world's population live on less than $10 a day. 80%. But it gets worse. The median household income for the global population is less than $10,000 a year. Over one-third of the people on the planet live on less than $2 a day. How would you like to try to live on $2 a day? Couldn't do it. 1.2 billion people live on less than $1.25 a day. Americans spend, how much do you think every year on Christmas? Somebody throw me a guess. Huh? No, I'm talking about America as a whole. Okay? How much do we spend? $465 billion a year every Christmas. More than the GDP of the world's poorest countries. Because of poverty, watch this, almost 29,000 children die every day, mostly from preventable diseases. 29,000 kids every day. Well, Naomi and Ruth are poor. They are destitute. But that's not their only problem. You think, man, how can it get any worse? Well, if you'll remember, they were widows. But it gets worse. They were also childless, okay? And they're left alone to fend for themselves in a male-dominated society. Now, you got to think about over the Middle East nowadays. Listen, for the most part, it is a male-dominated society, and they look on women, their wives even, as less than a slave for the most part. And Naomi and Ruth are in this male-dominated society. There's no reasonable work for them. There's no good-paying job that they might get. There's absolutely pretty much no way for them to provide for themselves. And their difficulty, listen, you say, well, it gets worse? Yeah, it gets worse. Think about this now. Because Ruth, remember, she is a Moabite woman. And for a foreigner is looked upon in a very suspicious way by the people of Bethlehem. She's looked on as in a suspicious way. In the midst of all their problems, though, we can understand though that God cared for them. And folks, I'm thinking about how God today, in the midst of all our problems, in the midst of all this pandemic thing, God cares for us. And I think we have forgotten about that for the most part. I think Christian people, in the midst of all our problems, we think that we've got to take care of ourselves. But I'm here to let you know, and all of our folks, listen, God will take care of us if we allow Him to do that, when we can all say amen. So Ruth, now think about it. Here she is. She is a Moabite woman, but she has just made a total commitment to God to follow Him with her whole heart. And because of her commitment to God, a genuine, sincere commitment, by the way, God takes her close. Listen, I'm thankful that when we make a commitment to God, God, He'll make a commitment to us. And so we're going to see this in this passage of Scripture, how that God takes care of us. If we will allow Him to lead us, He'll take care of us. When we take the step of faith and do what God tells us to do, we got to understand, we really don't know what's going to go on, what's going to happen. When we take the step of faith and when we are confronted with decisions to follow God, we do not know what it's going to be like in the future until we take that first step. Listen, we've got to take the step of faith before we will ever realize how God will take care of us. It's the same way with Naomi and Ruth. Listen, they don't know. But they're about to find out because, listen, they were willing to take that step of faith and do what they believe God wanted them to do. And they're going to find out that God will take care of them and He will take care of us if we first take that step of faith. Amen. We have a tendency to honor Ruth for her courage, and I think it's okay. But think about this. Ruth is made out of the same stuff we're made out of, flesh and bone. And I'm sure that when she left Moab, by the way, Moab was all she had ever known. It was a pagan, a society who didn't honor God or the things of God. So she's leaving this place. And I think she perhaps has the same fearful thoughts in her mind that we would have in our mind had we done the same thing. Listen, but she's about to learn, watch, when we trust God, we discover that He is a God who can be trusted in everything that we do. The Bible says, David, I believe it prayed, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Why? Because we take that step of faith. And when we do that, we know that God will take care of us. So I want you to see some things. Number one, the provision that God gave for Ruth. Now remember we read last week, and we read it right up at the front, that Naomi returned to Bethlehem, Judah at the beginning of barley harvest. All right? Now remember, Bethlehem, Judah is the place of God's provision. They heard back there where they should have been, where they should have never left, that's where God was blessing. And so that's where they went back to. And one of the great challenges for us as God's people is that we stay under God's blessing. Because when we move out from under it, we're on our own. Listen, I don't want to be on my own in this society that we live today. I want to know that somebody that's greater than I am, that knows more than I know, that's got His hand of direction on everything, I want to know that He is directing me as well. And so we're seeing that right here in Bethlehem, Judah, for Ruth and Naomi. Notice the period. We talked about this last week, that they came back at the beginning of barley harvest. Wheat harvest in Israel was from about April till June. So Naomi and Ruth, they returned at an important time, and it's a time when God is blessing His people. And when I thought about that, I thought, isn't it ironic? Isn't it funny how that they come back just at the right time? No, I don't think so. God's always given us a chance for a new beginning, always, and God's providing. Now, notice in verse 1 of chapter 2. The person of God's provision. And this is what Miss Rachel was talking about. Have you ever noticed that when God provides, He often does it through a person? Yep. When God works in my life, He usually works through a person or a group of people. And when God's going to, you know, when He's going to work in somebody's life, He most often will use you or me as His instrument in that person's life. Listen, don't rob yourself of a blessing because you don't want to be a blessing. If God, I've learned this, listen, if God touches your heart about something, do it. Listen, I don't know how many times, and I don't say this in a self-serving way, but there's been times when something has come my way, and let's just, for the example, somebody send me $50, and I meet somebody, and I've got a $50 bill in my pocket, and I don't have them very often, by the way. Most of the stuff I have is like ones, amen? But listen, and I'm walking by somebody, and God says, hey, be a blessing to them. Amen? And you know, but I've come to learn, over the years, I've come to learn that, listen, I tell my wife, and you can ask her, I'll say, hey, you know what? I didn't have this before, and God gave it to me, so I'm just going to pass it on and be a blessing to somebody else because I know that God said, give, and it shall be given. Listen, don't rob yourself of a blessing when God says to be a blessing to someone else. Amen. And so we're seeing this very thing happen here in verse 1. God's special person for Ruth is mentioned right here in chapter 2 in verse 1. Notice what it says. It says that, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name, here he is, his name is Boaz. Out of nowhere. Think about it. He is introduced out of nowhere. There's no mention, not even a hint that a new character is going to appear on the scene, and only Boaz's name. And a few facts are given about him here in this verse. And watch, in verse 1 only introduces him. It's like it says, okay, here's Brother Marco. Okay, they're talking about him now. You follow me? God just introducing him, and He's just kind of giving us a hint of who He is, and He's suggesting that He's going to soon, watch, become a part of their lives. And listen, Boaz is going to become a big part of their lives, but watch, they don't know it. So I want to show you, listen, Boaz, the Bible says, is a man of wealth. His name means in him is strength, or it means a son of strength. His name also tells us that he was a well-to-do man. He's a man of property and a man of wealth, and he was well-known and a very respected individual. But notice also, he's a relative. Now watch, he's a relative of Naomi's husband, who's Elimelech. In other words, Boaz is an extended family member. And it's important that Boaz is introduced right here at this point in the story. Because, listen, God wants us to know that, you know, God saves His best for down the road somewhere. Amen? The old devil always has to give his up right now. But I'm thankful today that, listen, this world is not everything for us. The best is yet to come. Amen? And so God's just saying, listen, let me give you a little tidbit. I'm going to introduce you to Boaz. So God brings a person into this story who's going to be a part of His provision for Naomi and for Ruth. Now watch, remember, they've suffered loss, they've lost everything, they're destitute, and they're widows, and they're out here trying to fend for themselves. But the neat part is here, and I just think this is an awesome thing, they are totally and completely unaware that God is about to save them from their situation. But it all started when they said, we got to go back. And they took that step of faith. Listen, it's only when we do that that we see God's provision and see that He will take care of us. Praise the Lord. It's all about to get started. But now watch. God is not only going to take care of them in their material needs. Watch. God is also planning to use them to fulfill a promise that He made to Abraham a way back. And that's the promise of the promised seed or the Messiah. Listen, the promise that the Savior is going to come through the descendants of Abraham, and God is working all this out. And I'm thinking, man, what a great thing to know that God's going to do that. Listen, the sovereign power of God is moving all of these events around, all these surroundings around, so that Naomi and Ruth, watch, will be a part of the promise of the covenant that God said. The promised seed is going to come through the seed of Abraham, and God is moving all these things around to make it happen. Do you understand today that God still moves events around in mine and your life? Because He said, all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. He does that for me and for you if we just let Him do it. Amen. So He's working all this out. The person He's going to use in all this is Boaz. But notice verse 2, the principle of God's provision. He says, and Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Now remember, now watch this. When Ruth and Naomi, they come back to Bethlehem, they were penniless. They didn't have anything. So Ruth, she's headed for the fields and just hoping to pick up some leftovers. And the Bible uses the word glean. Look in verse 2. She says, and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I shall find grace. Now I want you to turn over to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. In the old, there's an Old Testament law about this. To me, it is amazing to me how God's Bible goes together. Listen, this thing fits together like a puzzle. You can't break it anywhere. If you break it, listen, then it's no longer a picture. So if you look in Leviticus, look in chapter 19, look at verse 9 and 10. God says, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the who? The who? Well, imagine that. That's exactly who Ruth and Naomi are. They're both penniless and they're both strangers. God has already made provision for them way back in the book of Leviticus. He says, listen, we're going to take care of the poor and we're going to take care of the strangers. So you leave some of that stuff out there. And now all of a sudden, just by chance, they're out here gleaning. No, there's no such thing as chance with God. So they're out there. Listen, this is God's welfare program, by the way. I believe that if you don't work, you don't eat. That's what the Bible says. Amen? And now I'm going to go ahead and just throw this in here. My son-in-law said this a few years ago, and I have a tendency to believe it. I think that everybody on welfare ought not get to vote. Now think about it. Anyway, I'll leave that off there. Oh, by the way, let me just go ahead and say this here too. Listen, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Libertarian. I am a child of Almighty God. And when we as God's children vote, we ought to get our Bible out and we ought to sit right up there and put the voting deals right here beside it. And whoever lines up closest to the Word of God, that's who we ought to vote for. And if they stand up for the abortion and gay rights and all that other stuff, then I don't see how a child of God could ever vote on that kind of stuff. God help them. And all God's people can say, amen. Listen, here is Naomi and Ruth, and God's taken care of them. And the fact of gleaning shows us the character of God Himself. But wait a minute, that's not all. Look in Deuteronomy. And look in chapter 10. And look in verse 17. It says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods, and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth," here it is, look at that, "the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." Listen, and we who are once were lost, I'm telling you, we were strangers. We were alienated from the goodness of Almighty God. But listen, but now that we're born again, amen, we can cry out, "Abba, Father," and listen, why? Because He has saved us and brought us into the family of Almighty God. So Ruth and Naomi, they don't know who Boaz is. They've never met him. And Ruth leaves Naomi's hut in just a little dwelling place. I can imagine what it looks like. Listen, they're penniless. And she goes off to find a field where she can glean. Listen, remember, she has no idea who Boaz is. She has no idea where she's going. But notice in verse 3, the providence of God. Look what it said. Let me get back over here. It says, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." Now somehow Ruth, who was aware of the law that I just read, the Bible doesn't tell us how she was aware of it, but for somehow, maybe Naomi had said something, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us. But by suggesting that she gleaned behind the harvester, she was demonstrating not only that she knew something of the Old Testament law in the book of Leviticus, but she's also demonstrating some courage and some strength because she's a foreigner. Now remember, you remember Boaz said, I've told these guys not to bother you. I've told them to keep their hands off you because as a stranger, as a foreigner, a Moabite coming into Bethlehem, she could expect to be ridiculed, even run out of the field, or even physically abused. But Naomi and Ruth, watch, they're both out of food, and they are desperate. So she took the initiative, and she walked into the fields, and look at verse 3 again. It says it was her hap to find herself working in the field of Boaz. Now, that's a neat word, and it means chance or fortune. But the reality is, if you look back in chapter 1, verse 14 through 18, you remember she made a commitment, a strong commitment to follow God. And now God is taking care of her. Not only is she walking by faith in the will of God, but God is directing her hap. Listen, with God, there's no such thing as chance. Nothing. Listen, but God, I think it's letting us know that, listen, when we think it's just happenstance or it's just, listen, with God, there is no such thing. Because God says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered up by God Himself. And I'm telling you, God is directing the things that are going on. No, watch, it's a prepared harvest. Out of all the fields around Bethlehem, listen, I would imagine there's a lot of them, okay? Out of all the fields around Bethlehem, she just so happens to walk into Boaz's field. If you believe that, I've got some property I want to sell you out here in Louisiana somewhere, amen? But watch, I'm telling you, know what's happening? God is directing her. God is letting her know, listen, God is directing her steps, and she walks right into the field of Boaz. Now, I'm sure that there were days when Naomi and Ruth might have thought, listen, did I do the right thing? Amen? I've talked to people before that, listen, they've got more month than they do money. They've got more bills left over than they have money to pay those bills. And yet they come to church and they fill out their tithe envelope and they say, listen, God first, and they put it in there. And after it's put it in there, I know what happens. It's a natural thing. We think, listen, did I do the right thing? Am I doing this and for the right reason? Listen, watch this. I would imagine Naomi and them are thinking about the same thing. I would imagine they're thinking, should we have stayed in Moab and tried to tough it out? I mean, they're probably thinking, we thought God wanted us to come back here. But listen, but it's getting mighty tough. I would imagine that they've thought about all these things, but how many of us have done what God has told us to do and then had second thoughts? Boy, listen, I've thought that. Come on. I mean, all of us, if we'll be honest with ourselves, we've all thought those things, and we can all say amen. But watch, I believe God allows that to happen so that he can confirm to us in his own way that he is working on our behalf. And God, listen, is about to confirm it to Ruth. But if they hadn't ever took that step, God wouldn't be able to confirm anything for them. And it's the same thing for you and me. Listen, I don't know how many times I could say that, listen, until we take that step of faith and take that step of obedience and do what God says to do, God can never confirm his will in our life, ever. But so he prepared the field. Now he's going to prepare the heart. Or we'll look in verse 2. Let me say this. When it gets tough and you know, listen, and you know you're doing the right thing, just keep doing it. Stay the course. Keep doing it. Don't fudge. Amen. I've had people say, well, you know, I'll catch up on my, and I'm just using this for example, I'll just catch up on my tithe next month. No, you won't. Stay the course. Be faithful. Be obedient. Look in verse 2. I thought this was pretty interesting. Ruth is asking Naomi to allow her to go to the fields to glean. Now, when I thought about that, I thought, wait a minute, Ruth is a grown woman. Amen? I mean, she's been married. She's had a home of her own. And here she is asking Naomi permission. She's asking her mother-in-law. You catching what I'm throwing? She's asking her mother-in-law to go glean in a nearby field. Now listen, Ruth is showing respect for age and experience. She had learned to trust God, but listen, but also to respond with the right heart. God help us. Listen, we may not agree with somebody. We may not like what they're doing, but we can always be respectful. Respectful. We live in a world, listen, who needs some history and a little encouragement to be respectful. Amen. But so notice the next thing. Look in verses 4 through 10, the protection of God. Verse 4, look at that. It says, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Now, I would imagine here she is out in the field, and this handsome stranger comes walking in the field. Amen. And he's walking in the field, and he steps in his field, and he looks at all of his workers, and he says, the Lord be with thee. And then they respond back, the Lord bless thee. Now, I don't know about you, but when people talk like that, I take notice. We were playing golf a few weeks ago, and there was two men with their wives that came up behind us in their cart, and we said something to them, me and Brother Hatch and another preacher. We were getting ready to play, and they came up, and I said something to them, and they said, amen, brother. And I turned around, and I looked, and I said, now listen. I said, not everybody says stuff like that. And he said, he didn't know me from Adam. And he goes, well, I probably shouldn't say things like that out loud. And I said, no, wait a minute. I liked it. I appreciate it. I took notice of that. Only people that have been around church or know the things of the Lord say stuff like that. And I would imagine that when Boaz walked into this field and he said, the Lord be with thee, and then his workers responded that way, I would imagine Ruth was watching them and she said, oh, imagine that. I've wondered, that guy sounds just like Naomi. Hey, man, I've wandered into a field of someone of like faith. And listen, I want you to know that'll lift your spirits a little bit. So here she is. She's gone into this field of Boaz. And look in verse 5. And Boaz says, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Okay, now y'all think back to when y'all were in high school. I know that's been a long time for some of you. It's been a long time for me. But you remember when you see somebody that's pretty? Or you ladies saw a young man that was good looking? Who's that? Yeah. Who is that? You know? What's his name? I haven't seen him before. You know, I wonder, who is that? Well, this is Naomi. This is a Boaz when he sees someone he doesn't know that's pretty. He asks about her. Look in verse 6. He says, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, oh, it's the Moabite damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you. Evidently, she sees, and she's not too far away, and so she answers. She sees Boaz. She recognizes, realizes he's the owner. I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning unto now, and that she tarried a little in the house. She's out there working hard. Then Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And you can read down through verse 10. But we see that the reason she found favor in the eyes of Boaz is because she found favor in the eyes of God. Listen, a relationship is being created between Boaz and Ruth. And you can go back and read this over and over all week long. I'm telling you, you'll get something different out of it every time. Listen, here's Boaz. He's come into the field, and he's left Bethlehem, went out to his field to kind of check on the workers where all the harvest is being done. And when he gets there, he spots Ruth, and he asks about her, and he speaks to her in verse 8. And watch, he calls her my daughter. Now, why does he call her my daughter? That's not his daughter. Well, that means that she's younger than he is. So he calls her my daughter. Now, folks, I want you to understand this is an awesome picture that's starting to break out. And if you read it and you see it, you can just see the hand of God moving and how we can apply all this stuff to mine and your life, how God will take care of us. Now, and you say, well, what's that teach? Well, let me show you. Number one, God loves his own. Naomi left the will of God, but God never took his eyes off her. God followed her to a far country and all the way back. I'm glad to know that, listen, when I got out of the will of God, when I was a young man, that God followed me. He watched me all the way out of the will of God in my life. I came back, listen, he followed me all the way back. Listen, he always has his eyes on his own, and he'll always help us. If we'll just come back home. And I'm glad to know that, listen, that no matter where we are, God's eyes are upon us, and he grieves when his children are outside of his will. He wants to help us. But the only time he can help us is when we take that step of faith back into his will. But we know that God loves his own. We also see that it teaches how God leads us every day. Think about this. Every day. Every day. I learned something new about how God works. Every single day. Listen, I am overwhelmed how that I can just, if you just pay attention, listen, God will show you his hand moving in somebody's life every single day. And if you'll just pay attention, listen, those things will certainly be a blessing. It's the little things. The little things. I was in the nursery the other day when the ladies were having their meeting back here, and Brother John and Miss Sarah came in, the kids were with them, and they took them down to the nursery. And I, you know, I just went down, I sat in a little chair, and I was in there talking to the kids, and Sadie was in there, and we were talking, you know, and I was asking her, and man, she sang Jesus Loves Me, and man, listen. And then Layla, she starts singing the books of the New Testament. And I mean, they're just in, and Sadie trying to sing along with her, and I'm just sitting there going, man, this is pretty awesome, you know? And I'm just thinking about how big of a blessing they are. And listen, and it all comes from some. And all they're doing is just doing what comes natural to them. They're babies. Listen, and how a blessing can be. Listen, if we just look for the blessings of God, they're always there, and they always are waiting to be uncovered by somebody that'll receive them. She came over to me, and she had a color, and she goes, "Oh, look, preacher, this is a boy color." And I thought, "What?" And I said, "A boy color?" She goes, "Yeah, it's a boy color." I said, "What is that?" She said, "Blue." And I went, "Oh, yeah, okay. I get it." And she went back, and I said, "Go get me a girl color." And she went back and got a pink one. You know, I thought, well, that's pretty smart. I've never heard it explained that way, but I'm getting it. Listen, I want you to know I learn something new every day about how God works. And one thing I've learned is that we can't know the leading of God in our lives until we give Him control. We cannot. Listen, Ruth and Naomi, they turned back. And the Bible says they returned. And when Naomi went, Ruth went with her. I wonder how many Christians today there are outside the will of God who took that step away from God and they took somebody with them. Listen, but just as we take that step away from God, if we'll just turn and we'll just take that step back, listen, we can do the same thing. I look out here on Sunday mornings and I look at people and I watch their faces. I'm telling you, I see folks all over in our congregation, listen, the Holy Spirit talks to them and they're miserable. Miserable. And all they got to do is take one step back. And listen, God will accept them and He will lead them and show them some great things. Listen, I've learned also that we can't know the direction of God until we're willing to turn our backs on everything else. Listen, we're going to have to turn our back on everything that seems rational. You know why? Because God don't work that way. He works truly, strictly by faith. Listen, I don't know, you know, we could say things like this, and I wrote this down so we mention it. I don't know what Bethlehem is like. Think about Naomi and Ruth. Ruth says, "I don't know what Bethlehem is like, but if that's where God wants me, that's where I'm going to go." And that's exactly what she did. But as soon as she did, and she made that commitment to go back, I'm telling you, she's walking in God's way. There's not a better place to walk than in God's path. Listen, don't you think it'd be awesome to be Adam and Eve, to walk in the cool of the day and have fellowship with God Himself? But sin hath separated us. Our iniquities have separated between us and God. But I want to get my arm in His arm. And listen, this is such a bad world we walk in. I want to be arm in arm with Him all the way. I don't want to walk out in front of Him. I want to walk right beside Him. And if I get a little apprehensive, listen, as long as I've got my arm locked in His, listen, if He takes a step, it'll tug me a little bit, and I'll know that that's the exact step I ought to take. The Holy Spirit of God will do us the same way. He'll say, "No, go ahead. It'll be fine." But we've got to be in the place where we listen. Ruth, Naomi have taken that step, and Ruth, listen, she's talked to Naomi, and she says, "I need to go out and glean a Levitical law." She steps out there, and she walks right into the field of Boaz. Listen, and Boaz says, "Don't go anywhere else. I'll take care of you." Man, what a picture of the grace of Almighty God. I'm thankful that God will take care of you and me, and all God's people can say, amen. Father, help us.